Welcome to the Strong Men, Strong Marriages podcast. Here we are on a mission to get strong, get attractive, and get the marriage of our dreams. I'm your host, Mike Frazier. Let's do this. All right, men, welcome to today's episode of Strong Men, Strong Marriages, how to increase your self-worth in three simple steps. So look, a lot of times we battle with this idea of self-worth. Are we really valuable? Are we only valuable because we achieve or do certain things? A lot of us kind of fall into that trap. We'll talk about that today. So what we're talking about today is how do you increase that self-worth in a way that is not about your accomplishments, right? So as a high achieving guy, that might seem kind of counterintuitive, but we're going to talk about how to do that today. So my name is Mike Frazier, MD. I'm a psychiatrist and marriage coach, and I help high achieving Christian men have more intimate marriages. So some wins from guys in my program this week, the Strong Men, Strong Marriages program. So this is a big one. When guys start taking ownership of their side of the marriage and changing their patterns of thinking, feeling, and acting, often their wives will follow that example. And that's happening with guys in the program right now, that wives are taking ownership of their side of marriage problems and making adjustments. And you know, we talk about like a dance, sort of when you change the dance steps, you invite your wife to follow and join with you. And that's happening. Okay. Guys are having improved communication with their wives. One gentleman shared that it's the most open that his wife's been with him in years. That's happening right now in the program. Wives are reaching out to connect with their husbands when they hadn't before, when the husband felt like, man, my wife never reached out to me. Now the wife is reaching out. Okay. Guys are coming off of talking about separation to having regular date nights, and the wife looking forward to that, being excited for that, both of them being excited for it. Guys are delivering their apology letter and really changing the dynamic of the relationship, owning their side, you know, putting an end to the old marriage and starting a new one. For me, I've really been reflecting on this idea of my worth as a son of God, my kids as beloved children, and who I'm well pleased. So there's that verse when Jesus gets baptized that God says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased," right? And we're going to talk about that today, but that's what we want to see ourselves as, that we're beloved sons of God and he's pleased with us, not because we're accomplishing stuff or doing work for him or whatever, but just because we're his kids and we can kind of rest in that. Okay. So right now, as far as your self-worth goes, you're probably trying to earn your self-worth. Okay? As a high achieving guy, this is what a lot of us have been taught. Hey, your worth, your value, it depends on what you do. It depends on what you accomplish. It depends if you're a hard worker. So we've kind of taken that to heart as high achieving guys. Yeah, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to achieve. I'm going to earn. I'm going to do a lot in my life, right? I'm going to push myself. You have a pretty low tolerance for laziness in yourself or other people. I know that's true of me. So at work, right? So you're always pushing, oh, how do I make more money? How do I get that achieved? How do I, you know, get that promotion? How do I, you know, become partner? How do I increase the revenue of the business? You know, you're pushing yourself to do more with your family. You know, okay, like, how do we optimize this? How do we optimize that? How do we, you know, how do I do a better job as a husband, as a father? And in some ways, that's not a bad question to ask, but it depends where it's coming from. You know, if it's coming from this idea of, well, if I can finally like have that good marriage or be that good father, then I'll be good enough. Okay. Or, you know, with church, where you're just like, okay, I've got to be the leader. I've got to make sure I'm doing everything. You know, when I was in this mindset of like achieve, push, earn my worth. You know, at church, I would make sure I was like volunteering for everything. And, you know, if I got called to a leadership position, trying to like push and hit metrics and, you know, do all the things that I thought I needed to do to be quote unquote a good church member or a good church leader. Okay. So, Arnold Schwarzenegger just came out with this book and, it's called Be Useful. And so he's a guy who definitely like he's achieved a lot in his life. But I think we can take that in the wrong way. I think there's truth to that, you know, that we do want to be useful, to feel, you know, self-esteem, self-confidence. So we're going to split those up over these next couple of weeks. I'm going to talk about self-worth, self-confidence, and self-esteem. A lot of people group those into one thing, but To me, there are three different things. So self-worth, right? If we're trying to earn our value by what we do, we're in trouble. We're chasing something that just isn't achievable. Okay. You know, it's like trying to, catch a sunbeam or something, right? Like you chase it all the time, but you can't actually catch it. Okay. The other thing you're probably doing is beating yourself up for failures. So, I didn't make as much money as I wanted to this month, or I didn't, have this many people come to my church group, or I yelled at my kid again, and I can't believe I did that. Something's wrong with me. I got to do better. So this, I have to do better, is kind of a rejection of, how you are right now. And I'm not saying like you never want to try to improve, you never want to try to be better. What I'm saying is, as far as if you're coming from a place where you think, oh, I'm not good enough now, and once I'm here, like I'll be good enough. It's just never going to work. You're basically trying to hate yourself into loving the future version of yourself. So, okay, yeah, I'm not a good enough dad now, but when I do this, then I'll be good enough. Right. And then, I made another mistake. Well, maybe when I do this, then I'll be good enough. Or maybe when I make this much money, I'll be good enough. Or maybe when I, do this for my wife, or maybe when I was having sex with me this much, then I'll be good enough. Right. So there's this quote from some of the guys that I follow. Used to follow more when I was more in this mindset. But they say stuff like, hell is meeting who I could have become and not being that person. Going to heaven, being introduced to who I could have become and not being that person. So it's just this idea of like, yeah, I got to push myself. If I don't, man, yeah, that's going to be hell that I don't, reach my potential. Okay. So the reason why this doesn't work is the way you get there is the way you'll be when you get there. And here's what I mean by that. If you are, once I hit here, I'll be good enough. You're basically saying right now, I'm not good enough. So even when you hit that next milestone, it still won't be good enough because you've carried that mindset with you into the new level, the new accomplishment. Okay. So here's another thing, guys, you can never quite do enough to feel worthy. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. You can never quite do enough to feel worthy. Achievement is not the path to self-worth. Okay. Now, achievement can help with self-confidence because self-confidence is your confidence in yourself to do certain things, right? So, like, I'm confident now that I can record and produce a podcast, right? Why? Because I've done it hundreds of times now. Okay. So I have confidence in myself that I can do that. Now, if I was chasing worth by doing that, okay, then I'd be like, oh, well, I want to, I'm not getting enough downloads on my podcast. And, the way I did it wasn't good enough. I didn't get enough response. Right. And maybe when I get this much response, then I'll be good enough. So that's what I'm chasing, worth instead of confidence. You see the distinction there? And so one of them, yeah, I feel very confident that I can produce a podcast now, right? And I can feel good about that. Hey, like this is helping people. I'm happy about that. But if I'm like, oh, like my value as a human being is tied up in how this podcast goes, now I'm in trouble, right? So you can never quite do enough to feel worthy. Yeah, there's always a next level. So if you're always chasing, oh, when I get to that next level, like financially, with my family, with my work, with my relationship with God, like, then, yeah, then like that's when I'll be good enough. That's when I'll be worthy. So, man, I used to carry this thought with me a lot that, if I really did my best, I could do anything. And so if I'm not achieving it, it means I didn't quite do my best. So whether that was with sports, so I'd tell myself, well, if I practiced enough, I could, be a professional tennis player. Maybe that's true, right? I don't know. I didn't put everything into that. But the trick that I was playing on myself was, it's always like, well, I didn't quite do enough, and this comes with religious stuff too, where if we're thinking, okay, Jesus is going to cover me as soon as I do everything that I can. you can always look back and say, well, you know, I probably could have done a little more right there. Or, you know, I could have done that better, right? I didn't do that quite perfectly. So you're always lacking, right? You're always missing. And that, man, that kills self-worth, kills it. Okay? You always come up short. And so I've shared this before on the podcast, but I had a track coach that he said, hey, when you're running, imagine that there's a dog chasing you on the track. Now, this was very motivating to me because I had had a dog attack me and bite my leg and my head, and it was pretty traumatic. So picturing that, it does motivate you. Like, you do run faster when you're like afraid of what's coming behind you. You're afraid of not being good enough, right? It does motivate you to work hard and achieve. The problem is that dog never goes away. Okay. There's no finish line where that dog stops chasing you. As soon as you stop running, that dog's going to bite you. Okay. So that's why it just doesn't work. Trying to get self-worth from achievement, it's not going to happen, guys. So what do we need to do instead? So step one is we need to go from being a spiritual orphan to a beloved son of God in whom he's well pleased. So this comes from the book, Follow the Cloud by John Stickle. I'm really into it lately. Last week's podcast was kind of about some of the same stuff. But so he has this little like chart in the book that I'm going to share with you. So he says, like, a spiritual orphan versus a beloved son, like how do they operate, or how do they see things in the world? So a spiritual orphan will see God as a master versus a beloved son sees God as a father. I think that's an important one, because if we're like, okay, God has like all these standards that I need to hit. And if I don't, he's not going to be happy with me. And hopefully Jesus covers the difference. Right? That's how I used to think about like my relationship with God and Jesus a lot, versus seeing God as a father of like, oh, like I'm just a kid. Like, I'm just a little kid to God, and he loves me just because I'm his son. You know, in my mind, I am picturing like I'm like a toddler and God's just like holding my hand and kind of teaching me and basically teaching me like how to walk. Like, hey, good job. Oh, like try again, you know, when I fall down. That's how I'm coming to see God more and getting my worth there more. Like, I'm definitely in this process of like spiritual orphan to beloved son. But as I'm resting more in this idea of being the beloved son, man, it's just so much better, so much better. So living in fear versus living in freedom. So again, fear of that dog chasing you, like, okay, I've got to be good enough or else, you know, people aren't going to love me. No one's going to like me. Right. I won't be good enough. So I'm going to be rejected, versus living in freedom of like, no, hey, I'm already good enough and God's going to do a work in me. He's going to invite me to do things. I'm going to try to follow that. Sometimes I won't. That's okay. God's still going to be there. Right. He's still my father. You know, with our kids, we definitely invite them to do things a lot that sometimes they don't do, but it's not like we like send them to an orphanage because of that. You know, we're still there for them. Same thing with God. So this one's a really good one. So a spiritual orphan will take care of himself, versus a son of God, beloved son, will allow themselves to be loved. Man, that's a big one. And I'm just kind of starting to do that a little bit more. You know, even in the podcast, we talk a lot about being independent and not being needy and that sort of thing, which, look, there's definitely truth to that. And there's truth to the idea that we need to like allow ourselves to be loved. Let us feel God's love. Let us let ourselves feel love from other people. Give our wives the opportunity to love us, to be there for us when we need. Okay. A spiritual orphan will feel lonely versus a beloved son will feel wanted and accepted. There's a lot of times I feel lonely, even in my, you know, my marriage and stuff like that. It's getting less, right, now that I'm focusing more on this, versus feeling wanted and accepted by God, wanted and accepted by my wife, by my kids, by my friends, you know. So it's moving. So in here too, he says, you know, when kids get adopted, and I saw this, we had some friends that adopted some kids from Romania. And so they come from this really kind of wild, neglectful environment, and they come to like a very stable home with loving parents, financially very stable. And the kids have a hard time accepting it, right? They reject it, they push away, they don't really accept hugs and kisses. It was saying they'd like hide food Because why? Because they're used to scarcity, right? They're used to not having things. And so the parents just have to kind of stay consistent with them and be like, hey, no, like we have food. You can come get it whenever you want. And hey, I'm going to hug you and it's not going to mean anything bad, right? It just means I care. And it just takes time. The kid has to adjust and kind of test that out and feel it. And then eventually, yeah, okay. Yeah, like I am loved. I am wanted and accepted. God is providing for me. One of the things I'm telling myself a lot lately is, hey, like when I have food, clothing, and shelter, I've got everything that I need. That's been a really powerful one for me because it's like, yeah, you know, beyond that, what else do we really need? We don't really need anything. God's definitely providing that for me plus way more. And so that's felt really good to remember that. But also seeing like, hey, God has a lot in store and it's just, it's there, right? It's available. But so another one, living independently. Okay, I think a lot of us as high achieving guys who can relate to that. I'm my own man. I'm the captain of my own ship, right? I'm gonna do this versus living completely dependent. So completely dependent, not meaning like you're going to live in your parents' basement the rest of your life, or I need my wife to always tell me how great I am. It's dependent on God, right? Dependent on resting in this idea. Hey, like I'm a son of God. I'm living in the palace already. Okay. I'm in a great spot already. And, you know, God's going to invite me like one step at a time to grow and do a work in me to, one thing, the way the book puts it, is to become who I already am. And I like that, you know, versus like who I can be, becoming who I already am, kind of uncovering that, you know, God's going to invite that because I'm already a son, right? I'm already a son. I already have infinite potential inside me. And he's just going to help strip away things to help uncover that. So living dependent on God that way. Okay, another one, achieve and perform versus receive and rest. So this is probably the biggest one I'm working on for myself right now, is just like letting myself, instead of like, yeah, achieve, perform, you know, do all these things, receive and rest. Hey, like, I like that image, right? I'm already living in the mansion. I'm already living with God in the palace. Like I can just relax. I can receive. I can rest. And, you know, not just sit there and do nothing, but look for that next step of like, what's God inviting me to do? The fortune, I feel like, God's been guiding me. I feel like I followed God into what I'm doing for my work. And now it's just, okay, like what's the next step to help more guys with this. And I think, I think God's like preparing that for me in a lot of ways. So, orphans will have a poverty mindset versus an abundance mindset. So poverty meaning scarcity. I need to achieve. I need to store. I need to hoard, right? Versus an abundance mindset of, hey, like I'm in the palace already. I've got everything that I need, right? Can I share with other people? Yeah, because I've got everything that I need. As I've been reflecting on this more, it's funny, you know, with my money, I tend to just like hold it, right? I don't want to do anything with it. Versus now it's starting to loosen up a little bit. Like, hey, you know what? Maybe there are opportunities here to use money in a different way. Orphans tend to be skeptical versus fully trust. So how do we make this move? How do we make this move to becoming a beloved son? You know, ask to feel it, ask to feel God's love, you know, remind ourselves about it. The book You Are Special by Max Lucado, I'd recommend that one too, where in that book, it's kind of a similar idea about trying to achieve and like get other people's approval to feel good versus going to God and understanding like he made us. And in the book, he says, you know, you're special because I made you and I don't make mistakes. Love that one. Love that phrase. Powerful. So just reminding yourself of that. In that book, he says, hey, just come see me every day. Let me remind you how much I care. So it's a lot of that. And that's part of what we do in the program, is try to get God's message for us each day. So another thing, you know, God has this message. He is, hey, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Remember, God said that before Jesus did anything in his ministry, right? He had not taught anybody. He had not done any miracles. He hadn't done anything, right? But God was still pleased with him. Why? Just because he was his son. You know, he loved him because he was son. He's so happy about him because he's his son. You know, if you watch parents with a toddler, like they're so amazed and so happy for the kid. Excuse me. If you just like like he's learning to walk, right? He just stands up for 1 second. Yay, wow, you're amazing. Like, that's how God is with us. Then the kid falls down. Oh, hey, are you okay? The parents aren't like, oh, you idiot. Like, I can't believe you fell down. You're so stupid. We talk to ourselves a lot that way, but that's not how God talks to us. Like, hey, man, fell down. Oh, it's all right. It's all right. Like, I've got you. We'll give you a hug. Hey, let's go again. So that's step one, right? Going to that beloved son mindset. Hey, I am a beloved son of God. He's already pleased with me just because I'm his son. Okay. So step two is letting yourself be loved by others. So who do you feel like really loves you? Hopefully reflecting on this helps you see, hey, like God really loves me. He really does. But who around you kind of reflects that love of God? Who's good at that? You know, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's friends, maybe it is your wife, maybe it's your wife and you don't know it. I think that is true of me a lot of times. I don't really give her that opportunity to love me, even in like my imperfections, even in the times that I stumble, even when I, you know, try to stand up and fall down. Right. So, you know, give other people the opportunity to be there for you. You know, start asking for things that you want. That's another good way to let yourself be loved by others. Instead of being like, oh, I'll do it. Which I know I tend to fall into that. Probably a lot of high achieving guys do. Just saying instead, hey, like, I need some help here. Can you do this for me? A lot of times what you'll find is people will be like, yeah, I'm glad you asked, man. You're always doing everything yourself. Like, I'm actually happy to help. Helps me feel useful. Right. And in my marriage, you know, so as I've started to share more with Elizabeth, my concerns, like about work, about money, or just wanting to feel loved, or, you know, wanting a hug, or, you know, man, it's just been so cool to see her be there for me and know that she will be there for me when I need her, when I call for her, that I matter to her. So as I've let myself be open with her, be known, man, she's really stepped up and been there, and that feels great. So, and that what that did is it led me to trust more that she would be there for me. A lot of us as high achieving guys, some of us have come from environments where we maybe didn't really get our emotional or maybe physical needs met. Maybe there's even abuse or things like that, neglect. So we can kind of take that message, okay, it's all on me, right? I got to do it all myself. But as we start allowing people to be there for us, we can start saying, huh, maybe that's not true. Maybe I don't have to do it alone. Love that. So again, step one, see yourself as a beloved son of God. Step two, let others love you. Step three, see yourself as a baby. So we've kind of talked about this already, but why do people love their babies? Okay, babies, they do not do anything useful, especially an infant, man. So if you have kids, you know, a kid comes in, they're like, from a practical standpoint, they're like the worst. Okay. They keep you up all night. They, you know, they're just pooping, peeing, eating, you know, they don't even like smile or anything at the beginning. So no real feedback that you matter to this kid at all. But it doesn't matter, right? Cause that's your kid. You love them. You're like, you're oohing and eyeing over them, you know, going to the bathroom or just like the way they move. You know, I'm just thinking about, yeah, the way kids move is just like, they flop around, you know, their heads flopping everywhere. And instead of being like, oh, this, what an idiot, right? This kid can't even keep his head up. You're like, oh, it's so cute. Like, look at how this baby is. You know, that's how we want to see ourselves, right? We love these kids just for being there. We're so impressed by whatever they do. You know, as they get older, you know, a kid colors a picture. It's doesn't look like anything, but you're like, oh, wow. Hey, great job. That looks so great. And you mean it, right? Because you're like, hey, look at this kid developing. And this is my kid. I love this kid, right? We love them just because they're ours, right? So try to see yourself that way. Like, we are God's babies. Okay. And really in the grand scheme of things, we're like barely babies. If we believe God's eternal, okay, we've been alive, you know, however old you are that you're listening to this, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, even like 100 years, 100 years versus eternity. Like, we're babies. We really are. And so, you know, God loves you. He's rooting for you, right? he's there holding your hand. He's watching you fall, and he's not saying, "Oh, you're stupid." You know, he's picking up, "Oh, hey, good job. Great try. Like, let's try it again." That's how God sees us. We're like little kids to him. So see yourself that way too. So, and love and root for yourself in that way. Instead of being like, "Oh, I shouldn't figure this out by now. I'm so dumb." Right. Just be like, "Hey, yeah, I'm learning. Did I mess up? Did I fall? Yeah. Like, that's okay. I'm learning. God still loves me. He's still there for me." Give yourself grace like you'd give a baby grace. It's not like, "Oh, look, you colored all the lines, you idiot." It's like, "No, hey, good job. Look at all that good coloring you did. That's great." So why does this work? It's really the identity shift. So seeing yourself as God's son, like you're living in the palace, you're the son of the king. You've got everything you need, right? You're a prince. The prodigal son parable is a good one. If you're more like the prodigal son, that you've gone off and like done kind of crazy stuff, just know like God's doesn't really care that much. He's happy just when you come back and see him because you're his son, right? If you're maybe like the other son, which probably a lot of guys listening to this are more like that, where no, look, I'm doing everything. Look at everything I'm doing for you, God. We miss out on that relationship with God and just like enjoying the time in the palace, right? We're out in the fields all the time when we could just be chilling in the palace and, you know, feeling God's love for us. Not that you never want to work, right? We'll talk about that more later. But you can't work your way into, you know, feeling worthy and loved. Okay. That just comes from this, right? Knowing your identity as a son of God. So remember, God's there to support you, guide you, love you. He's never going to abandon you. Okay. That's one thing that comes across really clearly in the scriptures. He will not abandon you. We might go away from him, but he's not going to go away from us. Okay. He's like that father helping a baby to walk. Like we really are like that. We're just like little babies learning to walk, and God's there, you know, guiding us, helping us. So what does that mean? It means you can relax and depend on God's love and the love of others and the love of yourself. Just relax, right? You're okay. Like you're living in the palace. You got everything you need. Okay. So as a review, stop trying to work your way into being worthy. Okay. It's not going to work. Just remember, you're a son of the king. You're a baby in that bigger sense of progression. God's there. He's smiling. He's loving you. He's helping you along the way. Okay? You're his beloved son. He's well pleased with you just because you exist and he made you. That's all you had to do for him to be well pleased with you. Just like your babies, you know, they're rolling their heads around. They, you know, when they start to crawl, you're like so happy. Oh, hey, good job. But I mean, if you tried to apply that to like the standard of an adult, you know, you'd be like, you're just starting to crawl. Like that's stupid, you know? So stop treating yourself that way and start seeing yourself in this way of just a son that, man, God's pleased with you just because you exist. You know, you don't have to do anything. And he still is pleased with you because you're his, right? And then get around people who show you love. Give your wife and others opportunities to love you and be there for you. Give them that chance. Okay. I was reading something the other day too by a guy that wrote the book Lovable, kind of talking about similar things. He said, yeah, like you can't become a human alone. I'm believing that more and more that like we just need these relationships with other people. So do that, right? Get in a relationship with God, get in a relationship with people who really show love. And as a bonus, right, start seeing your kids in this way as your beloved kids and who you're well-pleased no matter what. They don't have to do anything and you're pleased with them. Like you're just like overjoyed with everything they're doing. So I've started doing this with my oldest son. I've shared on this multiple times. It's been a little bit of a struggle with him, but mainly because of me, right? Mainly because I've been seeing myself in the ways that I'm talking about today of like, that's not enough. You should be doing better. Stop, like get off your butt and work, right? That's how I talk to myself and believe myself. So I took that out on him, right? And everything he did wasn't enough. And that has damaged our relationship. And that's on me 100%. And as I have started to shift that, as I've started to see him more like this, hey, this is my beloved son. I'm well pleased in him no matter what, you know, it's a lot easier to see all the good that he's doing. And he's doing a ton of good, right? We coach his soccer team together. Yesterday, he did so awesome. By any measure, he did a great job. And why did he step into that? I think a big part of it was because, maybe not. Maybe I'm putting too much on myself. But But I think a big part of it was he's like, I've really focused more in on sharing with him how much I love him and appreciate him and I'm pleased with him and what he's doing in his life. And when people feel that, they do tend to step up. Because when we're coming from a place of love, instead of the dog chasing us, we actually do better. It unlocks more for us, more potential. Okay. So if you want to come join a group of men who are practicing this each day, and supporting each other in the process, come join us. Come visit strongmen.io, fill out an application, we'll get back to you with your best next steps on how to join us. So we're looking forward to connecting with you. Again, visit strongmen.io or visit the link in the show notes, and we'll see you there. All right, stay strong, men. We'll see you next episode. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, please leave a review on iTunes and share the episode with a friend so we can help create stronger men and stronger marriages across the world. And if you're ready to take your strength training and your marriage to the next level, visit strongmenstrongmarriages.com to learn how. I'll see you there.